Thank you, everybody, for coming. I'm Ephraim Shapiro, and I'm going to be speaking about community health worker effectiveness in preventing and managing chronic diseases across Asian American ethnic groups. I have a lot of co-authors. I want to especially recognize Jennifer and Laura, who are here today. If I make any egregious mistakes, please feel free to correct me. This is a very interesting project that I did when I was at NYU School of Medicine. First of all, disclosures, there are nothing to disclose, no relationships. If I can make money off of community health workers, I would love to, but it seems that, you know, all of us, but no financial benefits. So what are CHWs? We've talked about it, but I just want to go through quickly. I think what's really clear, there's a lot of elements to it, and there's a lot of different names to it, and I think that really comes through, but it's even more complex than this, which I'm going to get to, but really it's people who both are of the community, serve the community, play a lot of roles, but it's beyond just providing direct services, and all that we're going to elaborate upon later. This is just a few token photos to jazz up my presentation. No, it's community health workers, we talked about it, really, they go out into the field. They're not sitting behind desks. They're really interacting with the community. So I think this makes that clear. I'm also going to be going through this a little bit quickly, so I apologize. If there's anything you see on the screen which I don't get to, you feel free to ask me later. And I also apologize for speaking very quickly. So why community health workers and why now is, as we've seen from other presentations, there's really a lot of potential with community health workers. I feel like it's a hot topic that people are talking about here and elsewhere because they really have the potential to reduce health inequalities and in a cost-effective manner. So there's a lot of potential for them, but we've only started really understanding how they work, why they work, and what way they're effective. And I do want to mention, not to take a political stance, but they are recognized in the PPAC, in the healthcare reform, that there's a lot of funding available for community health workers. So it is a very topical issue. So why the study? The literature, despite the fact that I bet most people in this room really think that there's a lot of, including me, there's a lot of potential, the literature is not fully conclusive. And partly it's because people generally focus on one population, one disease, and within that, so it's hard to generalize and really draw broader conclusions. So I was brought on board at NYU School of Medicine to look across several programs, several populations, several diseases, and see what can we say when we look at community health workers across several several programs. And in particular, I want to look at are they effective in chronic disease programs for Asian Americans? How do they vary across these groups, and what are the implications? So we at NYU School of Medicine, we have very much a CBPR model where community-based participatory research, where very much partnership with the community, the community health workers. In some programs, they're part of NYU. In some programs, they're part of the community. But it's really very much a collaborative effort. All three programs basically have the models that there's a bunch of 4 to 6 group sessions for everybody who's in the program, and then one-on-one follow-ups in between. So there's both a group and individual component. And the three programs, or you'll see our, the director of our program likes nice acronyms that mean things. So ASPIRE, Asian American Partnerships in Research and Empowerment, this is basically a hypertension management program for Filipinos in New York City. DREAM, Diabetes Research Education Action for Minorities, is diabetes management for Bangladeshis in New York City. And RICE, Reaching Immigrants Through Community Empowerment, Diabetes Prevention among Koreans and South Asians in New York City. So we have different populations, different diseases, and also importantly, there's some that are prevention and some are control, and I think that's important also. Okay, so the evaluation, the methodology was really to use the CBPR, and we surveyed participants both beginning, midpoint, and end of the program. The different program lengths were 4 to 6 months, but basically at 3 points in time. And it wasn't just self-report. We also took clinical measures. Glucose, blood pressure, and BMI were obtained from the community health workers. We did a pre-post comparison of results. I forgot to mention, very importantly, this was a randomized controlled trial. So as one of the project director here can tell you, that really adds a lot of challenge to doing this program. So we really had two groups. More or less half the people were assigned to the program, and more or less half the people were assigned to the control group. And also importantly, the control group got at least one session. And then we did chi-square and t-test to perform the group differences. I can go into more statistical issues later, or Laura can help answer that if there's questions about that. But in the interest of time, I'm not going to go into a lot of the technical things. Okay, so these are the different outcome measures we had, and you see basically two categories. We have health behaviors and then actual clinical outcomes. Okay, so this is demographics. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I think what's important that you could see is two things. One is pretty much between program control, there's not a huge difference, although Aspire for income there was a little bit. But for the most part, there's very, very little difference within the group, but across groups there is differences. So we have very different populations among the groups. You can see even in gender, which is a common thing in the Bangladeshi Dream Project, there are a lot less percent married, education. So I think that's important to keep in mind in this program when we try to tease out what are the differences in how community health workers may function in different environments, that the populations that they serve may be different on something as basic as these demographics. Okay, so let me, before your eyes glaze over looking at this, my eyes are almost glazing over, but I tried to limit the number of slides, so let me just tell you how to read these. This is just looking at each box of two things. One is what is the difference between baseline and the end of the program, how much of an increase or decrease. So, for example, in the first box, the top left, 39 for who performed recommended physical activity, it increased 39% in the program group, 32% in the control group, and for just people who want to know, well, 39% of what, I put the sample size BL stands for baseline, and the ones that are in bold are the ones that were statistically significant. So I think you can see here, while we'd love to have everything bold, some of them were bold, some of them were not. So community health workers show statistical significant differences in some cases, but not in others. So just briefly, in recommended physical activity for Aspire and Dream, there was, although for Aspire, interesting, the control group also increased statistically. For nutritional behaviors, we see Aspire and Dream had a statistically significant increase. Similarly, limiting serving size, those two often go hand in hand. I picked one nutritional measure at random, but it's a nice pun. The rice group was the one with brown rice. They were the ones who increased in that. And smoking and usual source of care did not, but partially, I think, because most people were doing okay. Very few smokers, and people often had a usual source of care. So in terms of access and smoking, I'm not. And I didn't put alcohol, which is a common measure, because among Bangladeshis, they're mainly Muslim, where none of them drink, and in the other groups also, there was not a lot of drinking. So that's why that's not up there. I should just ask, any questions about just the way these slides work? Okay. And I can come back to it if something's catching your eye. So one more slide in results, too. In terms of clinical measures, we see here in weight loss, the Aspire and Dream programs had significant weight loss. It's not a huge amount, but it is, for anybody who's tried to lose weight, even losing 2% can take a lot of effort. And this is, again, over just a few months. So there was an impact there. Using Asian BMI, there was a decrease. Unfortunately, I forgot to bring the p-value, so I can't tell if that's significant, but I'm pretty sure the Aspire one and the Dream one were significant. Waist-to-hip ratio, we did not see an impact. Glucose level for the Aspire one, we did see a decrease. Cholesterol level, we did not. And total number of hypertensives, we actually saw a big decrease for Aspire, which is the Filipino hypertension. For Dream, which is the Bangladeshi diabetes management, we also saw a decrease. But for the rice, we saw an increase, but it's really, if you look at the baseline, it's just a sample size of 2. So again, you see generally there was a positive impact on community health workers, but it was not across all measures and it was not across all groups. And this is just another way looking at it, to just for when it looked like 1% or 2% didn't seem like a big difference, just to look at who decreased at all, regardless of the amount. And you can see in terms of decreasing weight and decreasing glucose that with one exception, the program group always had more people decreasing weight or decreasing glucose than the control group. So just another way of looking at the data. Okay, so just discussion. So I think this shows generally a positive impact, but not always. All three programs had some successes. But interestingly, I point out sometimes the control group had decreases or increases appropriate. So, which made it harder to show that the program worked, but I think that the 5 minutes, thank you. The positive way of looking at it is that, you know, maybe there's two models of this program. There's the one that goes on 4 to 6 months with lots of sessions, lots of one-on-one, but even one session can have an impact on people. So I think that's a positive way to look at it. Another way to look at it is that there might have been alternate paths to doing this. I don't know if people saw the big article a couple of weeks ago that they did the study of health behaviors affecting diabetes, I think it was, and they stopped it because it didn't seem to be showing an incremental impact. And their theory was not so much that health behaviors didn't matter, but that people were seeking alternate forms, whether it was through clinical care or medication or something like that. So I think another way to look at it is that maybe where there wasn't an impact, people were getting alternate forms of it. But of course, good exercise nutrition has many other impacts besides just lower glucose or hypertension. So that's an interesting issue. But I think you still do have to say that in terms of this, that positive behaviors didn't always translate into positive clinical results as of this point, although potentially down the road. In terms of the group differences, so which is part of what we did the program, so there was variation by program. I think Aspire seemed to have the most positive results, followed by Dream and then Rice. Aspire, again, is the Filipino hypertension control. Dream is the Bangladeshi diabetes control, and Rice is the diabetes prevention. But I think part of it has to do with just the sample sizes. I think it's not totally coincidental that Aspire had the largest sample, Dream in the middle, and Rice smallest. But also, I think in the next phase of this is still, I neglect to mention, they're still gathering data and doing this program more, is that we need, when we get enough sample, to do some multivariate analysis and really control for all those variations in demographics that we saw before. So I see this study as a step in knowledge, but not the final word on it. So why were these group possible reasons for these group differences? One of them, as I just alluded to, they have different populations in terms of demographics, but there's also cultural differences between these groups that I think we haven't fully captured and explored. Maybe certain groups are more likely to interact with community health workers in a positive way than others. Or lend themselves these programs, I think that's something we need to probe further. I think also prevention versus management. The programs that had management, I think, had an easier task. If you have the disease, you're more motivated to do that. If you're just doing prevention and you feel fine, you're a lot less motivated. So I think the Rice program, which was the prevention program, really, really had a tough task in that respect. And I think that might explain some of the differences in results. There might be differences in diseases. Certain diseases lend themselves to more management, more easy to understand. Hypertension, you have high blood pressure or not, opposed to always the constantly fluctuating glucose levels and what you have to eat or not. And then also the programs were structured differently. So, and in terms of resources funded by different grant mechanisms, all that may have to do with it. So other, I want to add one additional thing, which I think we need to think about, and we don't often enough when we're looking for new health workers. Often we just look at clinical outcomes, just like I just did. Sometimes we look at what are they actually doing, but we don't often enough look at what are the mechanisms by which they work. And I think linking that with outcomes is really the next cutting edge in really evaluation of community health workers. And so we started to do something along this edge to try to capture that third column. So we did 10 quarterly interviews for a year with 10 community health workers, and we found these are the mechanisms that they felt from what they said and from what I observed really were why they were effective. They had concurrence with the community, trust, honesty, and I think another important thing is that they link people to other parts of the community, and they also went beyond the specific diseases to help people with a lot of other problems in their lives. And based on this, we developed a battery of 27 questions that we asked participants, I'm going to get to that here, to try to gauge this. So people are able to tell the community health workers things they can't tell their doctors. They trust them. They often trust them more than other educators. If you look at it, then it would not have been able to control disease with SHW's health. That's a huge number of people who feel community health workers are really essential, linking them to other non-health issues, understand my culture. I guess that's what I expect, but I wanted to show everybody that people felt this community concordance. And just on a scale of 1 to 10, this is just the number of people who picked the 10 of the highest scale. So there really is all these positive things, and I think the next things we need to do, I'm about to finish, is to really now link these causal mechanisms with some of these results and say which of these mechanisms are really leading or playing a role in this variation, and probing further. But I think the message from here is community health workers have an impact, but it's not a magic bullet. It's not like they're going to always work for every group, every situation, but we really need to do more research and understand this further. Thank you very much.